What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 158 of the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. First time Nate and Blake have been in the new studio, I think. We're talking pet peeves, whatever grinds our gears, something like that tonight. I think that's the plan. So that's what we're going to do. For those of you that haven't seen them before, here they are.
Live and in person.
Our female audience should skyrocket after this episode.
Briefly.
For about 5 seconds.
So, if you haven't seen them, it's probably been on the show, but this is the first time you guys have been on video for a podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we've only done like a couple before.
I guess the Illinois show last week.
And then like the... Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah, you guys were on that, so... And maybe it's not the first time. Sorry, but it's the first time you guys have been in the studio for recording. You had a good idea, I thought. When we were at one of the classics, you said we should do the Grinds My Gears episode. So that's what we're going to do this week. We're talking pet peeves. And I will qualify all of this by saying it's not like it's our place to tell everybody how they should do stuff, but this is stuff that we think is dumb. We're going to let you know. There's just some things out there, and I'm sure everybody's got their own, that like you see it or you hear about it or whatever, and it's like, ugh, why do they do that? Mm-hmm. And again, most of this, especially for me, like I'm fairly laid back, don't really care too much as long as it's legal, ethical, whatever. So it's not like I'm incredibly ticked off at anybody that, at least the stuff I'm going to mention. We might get into some stuff that is borders on that, but
in 3 hours we're all going to leave Superman.
There's the potential for that. So who wants to start? We're just going to go around the table basically, and we'll kind of give ours and then discuss. But we have the potential to make some people angry tonight, which is fine.
That's my goal.
I'm sure there'll be a lot of people that agree with us too, because a lot of these, at least the ones that I kind of been thinking about, are stem from like social media stuff. And maybe like my biggest pet peeve is social media just as a whole, Nate. So,
well, you started kind of, so go ahead with your first one.
Yeah, okay. Well, the first one I had was it actually isn't really social media. It's just when we were at the Iowa show, we were watching some videos, and we watched like hunting videos up there that weren't ours, because watch somebody else's stuff.
At the Iowa show?
Yeah, at the hotel. Or the B&B. Remember we watched some videos at the Airbnb?
Whoever's they were sorry because Nate doesn't remember them.
Mm-hmm. Hunter, you're on the wrong camera. There you go.
Jamie.
I should mention, too, that Hunter is behind the board tonight. So that's new for the studio also. But we were watching videos at the B&B, you remember that?
No.
Oh. Evidently, Nate had been drinking. I didn't know that.
I had not. Okay. But
I would mention the name of the people, but I don't want to just put them on blast completely, and you would probably remember. They were at the Iowa show.
Man, and maybe when I get in... Everybody was there.
That's good. Maybe when I get into this, you'll remember. But one of my biggest pet peeves, and it's kind of always been this way, whether it's TV or YouTube or whatever, is when guys shoot a deer that is clearly like 2.5 or 3.5 years old.
Oh, yeah.
He remembers.
I'm with you now.
They're clearly 2.5 or 3.5, like immature, depending on where you're at, but we're talking like Midwest bucks. So immature, very clearly. And then they're calling them 4.5 or 5.5 year old bucks just for the purpose of justifying why they shot them.
Yes.
And again, why I say that, if you're going to shoot a 2.5 or 3.5 year old deer, and you were happy with it, just call it what it is.
Yeah.
You don't have to make it something it's not. Nobody's going to be upset if they are, tell them to kick rocks, that you shot a 2.5 or 3.5 year old, if that's what you're happy with, and you're not the guy that's all ticked off all the time. Maybe that's another pet peeve about not seeing any big bucks, but you shoot all the small deer. That's probably another one, but I'll save it maybe for the next go round. But if you're going to shoot one of those deer, just shoot one of those deer and call it what it is.
And be happy.
Yeah, I think that's my pet peeve. People calling deer what they're not just to justify it, or like for the clout or whatever, or I shot it on camera, so I had to call it a mature buck. But everybody can see that's a 3.5 year old deer.
Yeah, he weighs about 140 pounds.
Exactly. Like, I have no problem with them shooting those deer.
Yeah.
That's what they want to do. My problem is, we just shot this awesome mature Iowa buck. Meanwhile, there's a 125-inch 8-pointer that was living his best 3-year-old life 10 minutes ago. Laying dead.
Having a blast. Yeah.
Laying dead because some guy shot him through the under the tenderloins and miraculously clipped an artery.
Yeah.
That's what I'm leading off with, because that one, it drives me crazy.
Yeah.
And it's industry guys, you know? Like, yeah.
You think they just feel pressure to produce, and so they shot the first decent thing that came in, and they don't want to be the guy that shot the first decent thing that came in, so they're like, yeah, he's 4, he's 5. I mean, that's probably what it boils down to, right?
Yeah, that's what I think. They're just, like I said, just...
He's 9, and he's going downhill.
Exactly, yeah.
You'll have that.
He used to be a giant.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. They're justifying shooting that deer. And part of it is, too, the pressure that's put on by probably social media or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody else that's done it on TV, and they're seeing all these guys, oh, they're shooting 5.5-year-old deer, so that's what I have to do if I'm going to film it.
Yeah.
But that's not true.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't feel that way, but I think that's probably, you're probably right. They're pressured to kill something on camera. What's going to be the first buck that comes by on November 8th?
Yeah.
Exactly. So they're going to shoot it if it looks decent on camera, and then they're just going to call it a 4-year-old because they don't want to be, like, looked down on or kicked out of the club because they didn't kill some ultra-mature buck.
Yeah.
I think that's really what it boils down to. And that's even something that, if you look at, like, hunting TV over the years, that's something that's big-time shifted over the last 15 years, because I remember watching as a kid, these guys were going to these ranches in Texas or, you know, outfitters in Illinois and Iowa and Missouri and killing 3.5-year-old deer, saying they were 3.5 and calling that mature.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's just been 15 years ago, maybe 15 to 20 years ago. And now we've got to this point where everybody thinks you have to kill a 5.5-year-old buck if you're going to do it on a camera, or you're not as good a hunter as somebody else.
Yeah. It a lot of that depends so much on the area that you're hunting. You know, I mean, it for us, everything that I'm hunting, a 4-year-old buck is for sure the top 5% of bucks in the area. You know, there's tons of spikes, there's tons of 4-pointers and 6-pointers. You know, but like you get something that's 4 years old, like he's in the top 5%, I believe.
Oh yeah,
at least the top 10% of bucks in the area. In age structure, you know, because they don't get past.
Yeah, that is definitely geographical as far as like the country goes, but also like it could be pocketed even within a county.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Just like you're talking, there could be like one property I hunt, both of the ones that I hunt a lot are the same way. Like if I see a 4.5-year-old deer, that's a very mature deer, because I would say the herd average is 2.5, maybe 3.5 as far as bucks go.
Yeah.
Most of them don't make it past 4.5 if they get to that point. That can be in the same county as another property that I get to hunt on where 4.5, if it's a hammer 4.5, I'm not going to pass him, but I'm also like with the property owner on a hit list. Hey, like Dusty's properties. Like, he's got somewhere it's, we know what the shooters are. Most of them are like 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
And that's within the same county, but it's separated by quite a bit of area.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how pocketed that can be as far as what you're even calling a mature buck.
Yeah.
And that also ties into how much he can control.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can only control just like 10 acres worth, it's hard to manage.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. If you get a pocket where you got a few hundred acres... especially if you get over 1,000, you know, even a few thousand of like-minded people, you know, trying to hunt that, things are going to change drastically.
Mm-hmm.
But for your average 40-acre guys, you know, I mean, that's what a lot of people are dealing with. And that ain't... There's way too many variables to let guys just start going to pass those 4-year-olds.
No, in my opinion, nor should they.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you're happy with a 3-year-old, shoot that. But if you're wanting to kill mature bucks, yeah, you have to know that if I pass a bunch of 4.5-year-olds, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm just going to get to shoot 5.5s next year, because they're probably not going to make it. You know what I mean? So if you're hunting mature bucks, it'd be good to know what's mature in your area.
Mm-hmm.
And like at the cabin, even at, up there at the North Farm, like 4.5, I'm not passing them.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if I know I got 2 or 3 of them up there or over there that are similar age structure, but one's bigger, like, okay, if they're fairly regular, I might pass one of them to shoot the other one. Or if there's a 4.5 and I know there's a 5.5 round, like the shed buck, mm-hmm. for instance, 2 years ago would have been 5.5. Like, I was pretty convinced that there were some decent 4.5-year-old bucks, but I was going to pass them to have a shot at that deer because I knew he was around, he was close or whatever. So there's that too. But original point, like, it is what it is. You shot the deer. You might as well be happy with it. And I've got more just running through my head now because I just opened a can of worms all on the, kind of along those same lines. But
yeah,
who wants to go next?
All right. I don't know. I thought about different things that I thought really would grind my gears. I don't know. I think I'm probably going to start off at least with the stupidity of some of the things that the Illinois DNR does in their seasons and everything that they do. For instance, we're getting ready to start turkey hunting. Why in the world do we have 5 miniature seasons broke up into our turkey season? I am not aware of any other state anywhere that does that.
See, I've been thinking about that lately because it is turkey time. My only thinking of that is they're trying to keep everyone out of the woods all at once. Like, everyone just rushing to the woods all at once and just trying to keep the pressure off the turkeys and spread it out.
Are all those people hunting the same little pieces?
I don't know. I mean, it's turkey season. There's no such thing as pieces, apparently. It's a free-for-all.
So, like, I've thought about that, you know, and it's not like, well, this week I'm going to go hunt this patch of woods, and then the next week the next guy's gonna go in there and try them, and then the, you know, like, I'm hunting here, but then, you know, with a neighbor, when he gets his when his season comes in, you know, he's hunting over here. It's not like he's going right in here behind me.
He might, you
know? I suppose in our area. But yeah, I've wondered that many times, like, why do they do that?
I'm sure there's some scientific reason behind it that they think is good.
I don't feel like there's scientific reasons behind anything else that they do.
No.
And then...
more revenue for tags because people try to get...
Potentially, yeah. Potentially, I don't know.
Yeah, but if you could buy... Let's say, well, you can get 3 tags, right?
Yes.
So if you could buy just 3 over the counter, you'd still buy 3 tags.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I only got 1 this year. I tried to put in for another and didn't get it. I would have bought 2 over the counter if I could have. I think the draw is as dumb as the having the seasons.
Yeah.
Like, Missouri, you go over the counter and you can buy whatever your limit of turkey tags is. Mm-hmm. And then you also know the days you got to hunt, whatever.
Yeah. Like, there's less turkey hunters than there are deer hunters, tremendously. Mm-hmm. But everybody finds a spot to deer hunt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now there's also less turkeys than there is deer. Like, I get that too. But, like, I thought about what you're saying, you know, keep everybody out of the woods at the same time. Which turkey hunting, I mean, we ain't wearing orange or nothing, you know. Man, the guys that do like to do the,
reaping
avoiding the just running wherever they want to.
They're not
staying where they're supposed to be. That spooks me a lot, you know, in turkey hunting, because honestly, you know, one time, I don't know, probably 10 years ago now, I was walking out on this old road coming off of a piece that I had permission to hunt. I thought I would be the absolute only person back there, and I should have been. As I'm walking up over the hill to get out of there, just down this old road, I peek out in the field, and I'm 40 yards away from a decoy. There's a decoy stuck in the ground right there. And I'd heard what I thought was a hen over there that morning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was a few hundred yards away. But anyway, I poked my head up over that hill to look, and there's a decoy within 40 yards. You know there's a guy there. I have no idea where he was.
Mm-hmm.
I got out of there so fast. You know?
Yeah. Why'd you get out of there if you had permission?
I did.
Supposedly.
But, like, I was getting ready to walk into his set. And so many of those, like, I've heard
just shoot at the
stories,
first thing that moves.
Stories through the years, you know, of people just blasting at movement, you know, like, mm-hmm. we would never do that. But I can think of 2 different people off the top of my head that have been shot in deer season,
you know, with slug guns. And they said they had orange on, but they were moving, and somebody shot them.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, especially with turkey hunting, like, that spooks me. But I really don't think that...
it's just bird shot.
Let's test that.
I don't know. I feel like there's plenty of places for everybody to hunt as well. I don't understand the miniature little seasons because I mean you get one day to hunt and then your tag's for me you get one day to hunt and then your tag's over. You know, it's like well on to the next one, where I could have had 4 or 5 days, maybe even 7 or 8 days to hunt through the whole season. You know, if I would have just got regular tags like everybody else,
and then you could have shot maybe 2 in your one day. And here, because in Illinois, you can't shoot 2 in one day.
Correct. Yeah. And also, I have, the last couple of years, I've been not getting in on the first lottery. It's my fault. Mm-hmm. Usually I buy 3 tags and I keep them and I kill one. And I'm thinking, well, them other two, at least somebody else ain't got them. Mm-hmm. You know, like those two's going to live.
Right. Which is somebody else's pet peeve, by the way.
Probably.
Guys that get tags and don't use them.
But man, we don't have. I felt right there at home. There used to be, 30 birds that stayed in that woods south of me. There's like just a couple now. You know,
I think it's really pocketed.
Big hit.
Yeah,
and then
Jefferson County set a record 2 years ago, I think, for turkey harvest.
That's crazy. That's bizarre.
I think there's pockets where the population is as good as it's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not nearly as widespread.
Yeah,
because like you said, there's places. And even hunting like up there where I do, you used to go sit and see 10 or 15
mm-hmm.
every other time you went and deer hunted in the fall. And now, I mean, we've killed birds there, but there's just not as many as there used to be. And that's 10, 15 years ago, too. That's not that really that been that long ago.
Yeah. I suppose part two of that in deer season, I mean, there's so many does. There's so many does at home anymore, mm-hmm. you know, and everywhere in this county, I feel like. I am just as bad as anybody and not shooting enough does. Like, I might shoot one doe a year, mm-hmm. you know, I don't shoot that many. I'll admit that. But they don't have the late seasons, you know, you can't, they don't have the late doe season or whatever. Like, why in the world do we not,
mm-hmm.
you know, like there's tons of deer, tons of does.
I think that's a little bit pocketed too, because, and I'll give my reasoning, because there are places where you'll see 50 deer a night.
Yeah.
Especially late season, of course, they're going to group up. But throughout the year, at the cabin this year, as many does as I remember seeing. Like, lots of deer there. And I've got food there, so I've probably pulled some in, right? So there was a bunch of does there this year. But at the North Farm, like, I'd go up there, and if I saw 5 deer, that was... Well, like, we didn't see 5 deer very often up there.
Did you have... Did they spread litter on that again this year, or was that just last year?
No, they didn't this year.
Okay.
I think they only do it on bean years in the fall.
I can tell you why you don't see deer when they do that.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. But no, they didn't do that this year. Okay. Usually on corn years, because they don't work that mm-hmm. in the fall. Like usually, even late season, come late season, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
The year I shot Ghost was the day before gun season. That was mm-hmm. a corn year.
Yeah.
But they were out there feeding the night before, and then... He came in or whatever. But, like, yeah, this year there didn't see nearly the same number of deer. And, I mean, there's a lot of factors could go into that. But at least for that 160 acres or whatever, and the couple properties, because you can see forever up there.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't seem like there was the same number of deer up there. Now, like I said, at the cabin, as many does as I remember seeing. So I think it's the numbers are up, but it's also... not as widespread, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is, that's why they justify not having our late winter in Wayne County, is because they say there's not as many car accidents or whatever.
Yeah. Which is, we have determined, supposedly the only metric that they use to gauge population.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
I would think with all the drone technology and whatever now.
Which you're not supposed to use.
Let the IDNR use them. Put a thermal drum up at night, and you could figure out how many deer were in Wayne County in a night.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a few teams working in drones, you could have. And with the AI, which I'm thinking about doing a video on that, or like a short or something about how AI is affecting deer hunting, or like hunting in general, because lots of stuff that it's already in that we don't really think about. But then that's another one, like the drone technology. I think there's positives and negatives to the AI thing. That would be one I would think would be like an easy positive. Send drones up with something that AI can come up with the software that will count deer. Mm-hmm. And they could probably even tell you like age structure of the herd and all kinds of crazy stuff. Like I would think there would be no limit to what you could do. Mm-hmm. And it's not like they're concerned about blowing money on stuff like this. So I don't know why that would be an issue. Yeah. But literally, if you'd go up with a drone, a thermal drone, you could find out how many deer were in Wayne County mm-hmm. in a week reasonably. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Have a very good idea, just like they do waterfowl surveys. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, they do those with aerial pictures and stuff, not necessarily thermals, but they're all way more centrally located most of the time, especially like midday, the refuges and whatnot. But like with deer, especially let's go out there in December, January when the leaves are off, mm-hmm. you could see 80% of the deer.
Probably, yeah.
I mean, especially if you're talking middle of the night, you're out there feeding. I mean, why wouldn't that be what we do to actually get a good idea?
Yeah.
There's not probably... I think a lot of it obviously has to do with lobbyists and insurance lobbyists and the money that is being thrown around.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, there are reasons why they wouldn't do that, because then, hey, we're not getting the money from the insurance lobbyists, because if it says something different than what they're saying, or maybe they do that and they just don't publish it because it says something completely different than what they're thinking, you know what I mean? The same way with Farm Bureau, those lobbyists are throwing money at them, too, to mm-hmm. get rid of deer, so...
Yeah.
Another pet peeve I got too. I'm writing that one down.
Oh boy. What other reason you for the DNR thing?
Just over. I feel like we can look at other states, specifically states surrounding us, and tell
to the northwest.
That would be a very specific one. Yeah. But like, I mean, other people are definitely doing better. You know, other states are definitely doing better. Gosh, I feel like we're behind. I feel like we have the potential to be right there with them as far as management.
Well, we used to be way better.
Yeah. I mean, they say 80s and 90s, you know, they say we were right there, I believe. But anyway, I feel like we could definitely do better at the state level. We can do everything we can as, you know, as property owners or whatever. But a lot of this is way above that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've talked about that before, where if you had enough guys that were of the right mindset, you could definitely keep an area mm-hmm. well managed and have some conservation from your own doing. But at a widespread level, because it's so hard, especially around where we're at, to find that many like-minded people.
Yeah.
Especially the way things are all chunked up. Like there's a 40 here, 60 here, maybe a guy's got 200, whatever. And this guy's got 10 and this guy's got 20. If the guy on the 20 acres is in the middle of all that and he's shooting everything that walks,
he's having a great time.
Yeah, and he's ruining it for everybody else. You know what I mean?
The other guy's mindset. Yeah.
Exactly. So, but if there were regulations on that from the state, then for different things, you know, then obviously that would help that situation. So that's where you look at like Iowa, for example, with the deer. Is you have those guys, a lot of people there have that mindset. That's why they have land there, because they want to hunt mature deer and kill big deer.
Yeah.
So they have that, and then the state is working in conjunction with that, and that's where you get what they have, is when they both work together.
Yeah.
But the turkey season thing that you originally brought up, even if they want, like, why couldn't they just do two seasons? I don't know if you said that or not.
No, I just want to be able to chase turkeys for like a month. Give me some tags. Let me hunt.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
But even if
everybody else does that.
Exactly. Even if they broke it up, because I think Missouri might do two seasons.
Really?
Like a first and a second, but it's like a few weeks each one, and they might do like a break in between or something.
Yeah.
But like, if you wanted to, why couldn't you do that? Mm-hmm. And then you could still have your out-of-state guys draw for permits, just like a lot of states do for deer tags.
Yeah.
And turkey probably. And everything else, and then the in-state guys buy your tags over the counter. You can get up to three of them, mm-hmm. or you can get one for each season plus one and another. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. you could get up to three tags, whatever it is, or you could get two in one season or two in the other. Yada yada yada. I think there would be a lot easier way to break that down. That would be so much more beneficial for hunting them, because like you said. especially if let's say you want to hunt them first season when their gobblers are still grouped up, yada yada, they're fired up. You can, if you have a job where you don't have vacation days, or let's say you don't want to burn the vacation days, you can't hunt first season.
No.
Because it's through the week. Five days through the week. And then after that, you're SOL. Sorry about your luck.
Correct.
Your permit's just not good anymore.
Yep.
Whereas if you had 3 weeks, like you said, you could at least hunt those few weekends that were in there.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe throw together a Friday, Saturday, Sunday or something.
Yep. And, I mean, this time of year, as much as it's raining and everything, even if you take a day off, you know, like, hey, I'm going to take open a day off. And yeah, it turns out it's a wash. Yeah.
Exactly.
There went that tag.
Yeah. It would be so much easier to plan for your season if it was laid out in front of you. Hey, here's mm-hmm. your 4 weeks that you're going to get to hunt, or your 3 weeks that you're going to get to hunt. How about it?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yep.
What about you? What's your first one?
I don't know if I should go for the kill shot or the one that goes tied into the one you're complaining.
Either way.
I'll do the one that kill shot. Yeah, I'm going to save that one. That one's good.
Build the suspense.
That was a good tease, though. Stay tuned.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I cannot wait to piss people off with this one. bad mouthing people's deer that they are proud of harvesting on any kind of platform at all, or even in person. Going behind someone's back and bad mouthing it behind their person or their back. That infuriates me. To no end, especially on like any kind of social platform, kind of like what you was talking about.
Yeah, not even necessarily behind their back, but just like, hey, this guy posted this deer that he's super happy about.
What should have let him walk another year? And they mean it, like not even joking. Like I'll do like, oh, like a buddy's like, you should have let him walk another year, jokingly, but no one like I am super happy for him. But these people truthfully mean it, like. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you're not even in the same state as this person.
No kidding. Yeah.
Who freaking cares? They're happy. They're proud of it. Obviously, they're showing it on Facebook everywhere.
Yep.
Especially in all these groups that they're in. Like, be happy for them. Yep. They're happy. That's their dollar that they spent the tag on, their time, their money, all this stuff. And yet, here you are bashing them for what reason? Your little pride thing that you get think you got going on, like, so stupid.
Yeah. Because they're the holier than thou big buck killer or whatever.
Yeah, then they probably never killed anything bigger than them.
I got Dusty's got a good story on this, so I'll tell it for him since he's not here. He went to his taxidermist with, I forget if he was dropping a buck off or he was going to pick one up or something, and while he was there was a kid that had a similar, I don't remember if picking up or dropping off, but the kid had his buck there. I think he might have been dropping it off. And Dusty said it's like a really nice 3.5-year-old buck, and it was like this kid's first deer. He's like, I don't know, 10, 12, somewhere in that age range. And then this other jerk comes in to the same taxidermist, and while Dusty was there, he tells that kid that he shouldn't have killed that deer. He should have let him walk another year. It could have been a nice deer if he'd have let it go. This is why we don't have any nice deer around, because people like you kill all the small ones.
Was that guy able to walk out?
Well, from what I was told, Dusty was about, I think he, I don't remember if he said something to him. I'm going to think he probably did, but I don't remember. So, like I said, it's his story. I don't want to tell it wrong. But he definitely had the same thought that you just did, like, when you hear that, you just want to punch the dude in the face. Like, shut up. This kid just killed his first buck ever.
He's on top of the world right now.
Exactly.
And you're some crush his little dreams.
Exactly. You're going to come in here like you're the big buck slayer and laying down the law and make the rules for what everybody can shoot. But piss off, man. Like, and it's the same way, like you said, on social media. And you see it all the time. And I think there's so much fighting within hunters, and that's one of the big reasons. And then it discourages people from even posting what they shot. Then they're not, they're like, meh. And that's why you see all the time people kill this deer, and you know they're proud of it, and they were happy when they shot it, because they shot it, right? Given there's times where you shoot one, you thought it was bigger than it was, yada, yada, yada. I keep saying that. I don't know why.
A lot of times those don't make it to Facebook.
Well, exactly. So if they posted it,
yeah,
they were probably proud of it. But then you'll see those guys that what's the first thing they always put?
Not as big as I thought he was.
Or not the biggest one in the woods. Not the biggest buck ever. It's always something like that.
Yeah.
And
that usually pisses me off instantly.
Yeah. Why are you saying that? You don't have to qualify what you killed. It's kind of like what I was talking about earlier, except yeah. it's already almost for a different reason.
Yeah, if you're already downgrading him, why'd you shoot him?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You were happy when you shot him.
You got that rush.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Be happy.
You don't have to, like, apologize. It's almost like an apology.
Yeah. Yes.
You don't have to apologize to the elitist hunters that and,
on meta.
And exactly. I think part of it ties into that pressure deer we was talking about on your pet peeve. Like, they see all these people mm-hmm. shooting these deer and like, oh, I got to shoot one too.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They want it.
And they want, yeah. So they can have that, whatever that Facebook high, the attention high that mm-hmm. social media gets you.
Yeah. And then, so they shoot it. Maybe they weren't happy with it. They post it and they say, well, he's not the biggest one ever. Or it's the ones like you were talking about. They shot it. They were super happy about it. They want to post it, but they don't want to get the grief from everybody. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, I know he's not the biggest one. Like, just leave that part out. Nobody cares. If they do, like I said earlier, tell them to kick rocks.
Yeah.
I know someone. You'll know who. Both of you know who I'm talking about.
You guys know who the story I told to was. I'll tell you after.
Yeah. Anyway, I've known someone that says, I'm going to share this again because it only has this so many likes, and I wanted to get this so many likes. It's from years before, and they're saying, I'm going to share it again so I can maybe get a few more likes. I'm like, who freaking cares? How stupid and petty do you got to be?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the same thing. It's social media, like I said, is probably like maybe it's the biggest pet peeve. There's so much good that, I mean, there's a lot of good that does come from it at times. But then there's so much bad because of the
social
way
media
act
hunters
on it.
Drive me nuts.
Yeah. And it's the same thing as all the other keyboard warriors that
yes.
they're protected behind their screen. They don't have to worry about getting punched in the mouth for saying
make
something.
Make bullying great again.
Like, to some extent, I'm all right with that. You know what I mean? We talked about that at one of the classics, too.
Yeah, no more fluffies running around.
Whatever that video you had on was.
Oh, gosh.
I have something to build on Blake's pet peeve about saying stuff about people's small bucks and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I worked in the back of the shop this year bringing deer in, and all these little kids come in, and they're probably like 8 or 9 years old, maybe 10, I don't know. Like, it's their first deer ever, and they're just like, you can tell they want to be excited. But then they're trying not to be excited because it's only like a 4-point buck or something.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these older guys are coming in. They're like, man, that's great. That's awesome. You know, and then there's these like middle-aged guys. They're like just kind of eyeballing it weird. And like,
mm-hmm.
guarantee those middle-aged guys shot deer like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Probably the year previous.
Yeah, maybe this year.
So
that's
I try,
the ones that didn't make it.
I try to like boost those little kids' confidence or whatever, and like
as we should,
like, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then they leave with these great big smiles on their face, yeah. And I'm like, "Come back next year, shoot the same thing, or eat someone better. That's fine.
Yep. Yeah,
just be happy, dude.
If that's what you like shooting, I don't care what how old you are shooting.
Exactly. You know how pumped I was when number one, I shot my first deer ever with my bow. It was a button buck. I was so excited. It would have been a 200-inch buck, and I'd have been just as excited. And then the little fork horn that's hanging in the shop up front there. Like to the right of the buffalo, is my first racked buck ever. And I shot it with a 30-30 in Missouri. It was legal.
Yeah.
during youth season. It was a fork horn. You know how excited I was about that? Like, it was my first racked buck I ever killed. And I shot it at like 50 yards with a 30-30. So it's not like it was some great feat, but I was super pumped about it. And if somebody yep. would have told me, if some guy that I looked up to as a hunter, or which could have been just a random middle-aged guy with a 150-inch buck in his truck, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I would have thought, oh, that's cool. If he would have said, yeah, you know, you shouldn't be killing these one-year-old bucks. You know how devastated I'd have been?
Yeah. You probably, how many kids have been ruined by something like that?
Yeah, how many don't hunt anymore because of an interaction like that?
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Mm-hmm. And all those people that middle-aged guy with the 150s could be like these people that's buying up all the ground and growing these things and probably letting their kids shoot the 180s out of a blind with a crossbow at 6 years old instead of just letting the kids learn and have fun.
Yeah. Yeah. That whole like ecosystem of the Facebook, social media, Instagram elitist deer hunters that like get mad at people for what they shoot. Huge pet peeve of mine too. Well,
your next one, I think.
Okay, we're going to go back around the table. What about my wife calling me during podcast? Does that count? Probably shouldn't.
Shots fired.
That's not really a pet peeve. She won't watch this.
I was
going to
say, hopefully she doesn't listen.
She won't watch this. I'll text her back in a minute. But while I'm texting her back,
Nate, you're my, second.
My next one, and this we were talking about the lobbyists. I know of guys that do this. I've heard of plenty of guys that do this. The nuisance permits. I don't inherently have a problem with guys getting nuisance permits to kill deer that are ruining their crops or whatever. I have a problem with the guys that get nuisance permits and they know they can only get so many. So they purposely shoot deer in the guts and then don't find them.
Don't start counting until you've got 15.
And then they never use their tag.
Yeah.
That's what I have the problem with. Like, and we also know some people who shoot deer in the guts on purpose for other reasons.
Hey, that's my last pee. Shush.
But the ones that get these nuisance permits and then they shoot these deer bad on purpose,
mm-hmm.
and don't even attempt to look for them. Well, couldn't find them. Looked for blood, never found the deer, and then they don't use their permit.
Yeah.
Because, yes, I get that they're a problem. That's why the nuisance permits are there. Let some kid come hunt on your property and tell them shoot all the does you want.
Mm-hmm.
Let somebody shoot that deer and give it to somebody who needs some food or is...
It sure does seem like a tremendous waste.
It's such a waste to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it,
the food could go to food banks.
Yeah, I mean, something.
Anything.
Yeah. And it's not like I'm some apologist about killing deer or like they're some great humanized species or anything. But I do think you gotta
have some kind of respect for the animal.
For the animal, yeah. I mean, it's something that we've been given to govern over and be conservationist with and take care of. And then to some fault of our own, have they got out of hand in places? Yes. But that's still, to me, not licensed to just go purposely shoot them bad so you don't find them and then just let them go to waste. Like, that's not what it's about. That's not what they're for. That's not what that nuisance permit is for. I think that drives me up a wall. That's one thing that I actually, like, I would say something to somebody about, like, why? That's just dumb. What? Why would you do that?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I know why they do it.
Yeah. So they can kill more.
Exactly. But there's better ways to go about it. And you're not wasting how many pounds of deer meat. You're not just needlessly killing something for that could go to, you know, good use. It's not like a kid out shooting robins or blackbirds. I don't know if shooting robins is illegal.
They're both illegal.
Okay, well, I definitely used to do it. Statute of limitations is up on that one.
Whoa.
But some kid that's out with his pellet gun shooting birds in the backyard, like, the kid's having fun. The birds weren't worth anything anyway. But that deer, to somebody,
bird to somebody's probably worth something, too.
Well, the old lady, there'll be more birds for her to watch. But, yeah, that's...
35, 40 pounds of meat on a medium-sized doe or something. You know, I mean, that could feed a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. And it's I guess as much as anything, it's just a waste of a, like, to me, deer are a resource.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's just a waste of a resource.
The government claims them as a resource for sure.
Until you hit them with your vehicle.
Yeah. And it's like, nah, you're on your own.
Uh-huh.
It's a shame. Another thing, back to the state, it's a shame that there's not something that's easier to do with deer to be able to donate them. You know?
Yeah. And that is a state issue, because I think Dad's told you about that before, right?
You guys had tried before, it's a huge hassle.
Well, the processors can't do it because the Illinois only sets aside a certain amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when they hit that amount of money, and they would only pay for, I don't know what it was, 60-70% of the total processing fee, right?
Yeah.
So if you're charging $100 to process a deer, you're only getting $70 for it in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, if you're donating and it's going to feed some people, maybe that's okay. You're okay with losing the $30 on it. But mm-hmm. the problem comes in when Illinois runs out of money and then you have this long list of deer that are being donated, and it's after Illinois ran out of the money for it, and now you're just stuck with however many deer you have left.
Correct.
And that costs money.
Correct.
So now you're out. Who knows how much, depending on how many deer you took in on that program.
Mm-hmm.
And Illinois just, sorry.
Yep, they don't care.
No. And like you said, it's a state thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how Iowa does their hush program.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to work for them. I would love to have someone on that could talk about the details of it, because I've tried to look it up, and it's Mm-hmm. Like anything else, some stuff's kind of confusing, but if they're doing it and it's working for them, just another thing, why wouldn't you look at them as a model for what we could be doing mm-hmm. and make a decent program?
That's too much work for the state.
Yeah. It doesn't make them enough money, I'm sure.
That's what it all comes back to, right?
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
I'm sure they would rather sell all of our tax down to staters for the year because they can make a lot more money on them than they can on us.
Yep.
They don't care who kills it.
Mm-mm.
You got another one?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't know.
I know you do. You just don't want to say
it. Yeah, we know the one you're thinking of.
Yeah, there's that.
Just say it.
Talking about gut shot deer, I can also... only imagine that there's certain broadheads that you could use, and even you can shoot them good, and it's just like it doesn't matter. You know anything about that?
Sure do. I'll never use them again. Yeah.
You don't got nothing else, huh?
I don't.
You mentioned broadheads, and that was one I was going to write down, and I forgot. Guys that are, and it's not just broadheads, but that's one that's like really polarizing or whatever.
Arrow setups with broadhead combinations and people telling you what to do.
Any kind of equipment or piece of gear that guys get so dug in on that it doesn't matter what you tell them or what you show them, their way is the right way and no other way is any good no matter what. Like, I don't care if it's to the broadhead thing. I don't care if it's a guy talking about fixed blade broadheads or a guy talking about the biggest mechanicals you can get. And I don't care. Like, I think, and I'm not saying, like, you're someone that has something that you like and you're comfortable with and you're confident in it and you want to shoot that. No problems with that, obviously. It's the ones that say you have to shoot this type of broadhead or you're an idiot and you mm-hmm. shouldn't even be allowed to hunt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones, and it doesn't just have to be broadheads. There's bows, like you said, arrow setups, sights, releases,
yeah.
hunting camo, like anything. There's some guy out there or some group of people that is so entrenched in what they think is right that nobody else could possibly know what they're talking about or be right about it.
Yeah.
That drives me crazy, too.
Yeah.
I've said this on the podcast so many times. You know how many deer I've shot with any kind of broadhead you could, any kind of configuration of a broadhead you could ever think of? Killed them with all of them. Wounded, lost him with all of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Every different type that you can imagine. And if you've done it long enough, you've probably had some experience. Maybe, like, I've tried a lot of different broadheads. Not everybody has gone through them, I guess. But anybody that's hunted long enough knows that you're going to have some shots that you thought should have killed a deer and didn't. You're going to have some shots.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah. You're going to have, and that's not to say it couldn't be the broadhead's fault, because there are some that you even have video evidence that the deer should have been dead very quickly.
I am 1,000% blaming the broadhead on them.
So, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying I've had so many different experiences with all different types of broadheads. And again, it's not just that conversation, but for me, having all those experiences, it's just that much easier to see that the guy that says you only can use a two blades or a single bevel or whatever fixed blade, or the guy that says you can only use a 3-inch rage broadhead, both of those guys are idiots.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying everybody else is, but yeah. They're so dug in and entrenched on what they think is right on both either end of that spectrum on anything, like, and then they're on social media telling everybody how stupid they are or what they should be doing, or, oh, I bet you shot him with this, or you didn't find him, you must have shot him with this, or why didn't you use this? Like that, just save it. No one cares.
The Indians killed him in their loincloths with sharp rocks and sticks.
Uh-huh.
Everything we got is tremendously better than that. But those guys survived forever.
So mm-hmm. New video idea.
Nate's the Indian.
My goodness.
But yeah, sorry. So I just, you didn't have a second one, so that was my opening to throw that one in. But I know you got a second one.
That ties in great with this one. The people that intentionally shoot deer in the guts with the biggest broadhead that they can find, I got a few words for you. Come talk to me in person, but you guys are idiots, and you guys should not be allowed to deer hunt.
Tell us how you really feel.
I can't go that in depth or that use that kind of language. There'd be a lot of Jamie back there be beeping a lot.
Yeah. This is definitely some ethical concern there.
There is no ethics in it.
High level ethical concern.
I will broaden what you're saying to anybody that does unethical things on purpose. Yes.
Yeah.
But that one's just a hot topic for me.
Yeah.
I understand, like, it happens once in a while. You screw up. Something happens.
Yeah.
You hit him in the guts. That's going to happen.
Behind the cage.
Yeah.
There's a new catchphrase. I think catchphrases would be my second one.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Blake.
But the fact that people are intentionally shooting these deer in the guts because they know they're going to die from infection and all that stuff.
Yeah, in 12 to 24 hours.
Yeah. That's 12 to 24 hours of straight hell for that deer.
Mm-hmm.
That is not right.
Potentially having coyotes run up on them while they're still alive because they smell all that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is just wrong in so many ways.
Yeah. A lot of these deer that guys find, you know, coyotes got him that night. You think he was still alive? Right. You think he was still alive?
A lot of times, probably.
You wonder why you think they drug him 60 or 80 yards?
Right.
You know, down your big hair. Your big hairy trail, or you think he was trying to get away still?
That was him fighting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Him fighting for his life, and he can't because he's got two holes in his guts.
Right.
And now coyotes on his hams.
Yep. Yeah. And it's just like we were talking about with the nuisance thing. It's respect for the game. And our goal, in my opinion, as a hunter, and this is something we say there aren't a lot of dead set rules or whatever in hunting or in really anything. But one for me, I think everybody should be trying to do is kill that deer as quickly and efficiently as you can.
And humanely as you can, yeah.
Which is the most humane way to do it. Kill them as quickly and efficiently as you can do it. And if you're not trying to do that, I don't think that person should be allowed to kill an animal. They shouldn't be allowed to hunt. And that's one big thing that we can use to advocate for hunting, I think. Mm-hmm. Because any other way that animal is going to die is not going to be pretty.
No, nature is normally not too good.
Way more brutal, just like you were talking about. They're going to get sick and run down and then eaten by coyotes alive. Or something god-awful is going to happen to them. Get hit by a car and drag themselves a half a mile and then die. Something horrible is going to happen to them. An arrow, a well-placed arrow or a bullet is going to be the absolute best way for them to go. They're not going to know what hit them. They're dead and they're dead running. Like they don't know what happened. We've all had those deer where you just absolutely pinwheel them and they just take off on a dead sprint and they stop and they look around like, what was that? And then bam, it's over with. Lights out. So anybody that's not trying to do that, I think you're not doing anybody any favors, even with hunting. And that's the kind of stuff that people who are anti-hunting will use to keep everybody else from being able to do it. And then you're not going to be able to shoot those deer in the guts and go find them and put them on your wall and think you're some big great white hunter, because it's going to be gone because of people like you doing stupid stuff that gives way more ammunition for people who are against hunting.
That person that we know that does it locally, I'd love to talk to you in person.
Yeah, reach out.
Please, in person.
It's the respect for the game. It's being a conservationist, which I think we all should try to be. It's anything you're doing, again, to just even broaden it, anything you're doing that's purposefully unethical, like why?
Yeah.
Just so they can kill it and have that little Facebook
high
again that we was talking about.
Yeah, that's what a lot of it boils down to. Because obviously poaching is everybody's pet peeves, like it should be. That grinds everybody's gears. And that's what that's about.
Mm-hmm.
Why else would you shoot a buck with your rifle or at night or any other way, spotlighting them, any other way you might...
Or with a thermal on a crossbow at night.
That could happen. Hypothetically, if it did happen. Anyway, anytime they're doing something like that, it's just for what you're talking about. It's just so they can have antlers and put pictures on social media to get the clout for it.
Selfishness, greed.
Yeah.
Cheating.
What does it get? What do you get from it? Like,
what benefits do you get out of that? Because to me, I'm so much about the experience of hunting.
Yeah.
And like killing that 120-inch deer that I killed this year. Like, I wasn't excited because he was some giant monster deer. I was excited because of the way the hunt happened and hunting all season until the last week of the season until you
grinding
finally get it
out.
Like, to me, that's what it's about, and I really enjoy that part of it. I would find no joy in just killing a 220-inch deer at night with a thermal scope. It just wouldn't
do it
for
me. At your mailbox?
Yeah, I mean...
on New Year's night?
I mean, if that happened. If that happened. I don't... all that is for the clout and putting it on social media or whatever.
I hear that that's still a profile picture.
It could be. It could be. Also, if I know a profile picture you're talking about, did that not look like a young deer in the picture?
I really thought that deer looked... Maybe. Well, if it was New Year's Day, he's ran down.
That's true. It could have been.
He had a really good time that year. Yeah. Until... the next year.
Exactly. New Year started off pretty bad for him.
Yeah, exactly. That was nobody local, by the way, so don't freaking call me saying, hey, you got information on something, because no, I do not. I don't even really know the guy.
To be perfectly honest, the people who told the stories were drunk, so they're probably
who knows if that was right. Yeah.
But you could also hear the giant sigh of happiness as soon as that arrow hit that
I don't know
deer.
If it was relief or happiness.
Both.
Yeah. A lot.
Yeah. But it wasn't because of the deer, right? It was the everything that went into that. And
so many years of hard work.
It had been 5 years since I had killed and recovered a buck, and a racked buck, for that matter. I've shot a few in that area, and I know, like, I am convinced I've killed at least two of them, and we just didn't find them.
Yeah.
And, like, all of that leads up to what is finally, like, the trophy to me, which is the overall, the story, the hunt, everything that goes into it. Mm-hmm. So just shooting one to shoot it.
Killing it.
Exactly. Yeah. To have it.
Just to kill.
For me.
Just.
And it, like, I'm not even saying guys that go where you can rifle hunt and they shoot them at 400, 500 yards. Like, that's not for me. Like, I don't think I would enjoy that. I understand it's, like, guys that do it for meat. Like, I would understand that. Like, if I was in one of those western states, especially elk hunting.
I am for sure shooting one at 400 or 500 yards with this.
Yeah, but with a rifle, because that's a ton of meat you're putting in your freezer. Like,
yeah.
But it wouldn't be the same for me as, I wouldn't be doing it for the same reason as I'm trying to go out and shoot a mature buck, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not even talking about those guys that go out and they have the whole experience of going on the hunt and whatever, and they just end up shooting one with a rifle from a long distance away. Like, I don't have a problem with that, because that... it's the ones that are doing that illegally, you know what I mean, or unethically, or in a state where you're not supposed to be doing that, whatever it is. Those guys that are doing it the right way, there's still that hunt, everything that goes into it. They had to work to get there. They pay the money for the hunt, whatever it is. They had to work for that money to pay for the hunt. It's the ones that are, like you said, just doing it to be killing something, mm-hmm. just so they can put the picture on social media.
Get the clout.
Yeah, the likes, the comments. Oh, hey, you're so great. Just selfish, yeah.
Yeah. And a lot, I mean, those, I know a lot of those people, they'll do something like that and they'll wait till the next day or whatever, put a tag on it, you know. But like some of that, when they're just killing a bunch of deer a year, like you can't even show anybody that, you know, like why?
Mm-hmm.
Are they cutting their horns off and they just throwing them in their garage or something, you know? I don't get it at all.
Mm-mm.
I just don't.
I want to show them off.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm proud.
We work pretty hard for our deer. I mean, I think we do anyway. We don't work as hard as some people. We work a whole lot harder than other people.
Right.
But anyway, I mean, yeah, when it all happens and it works
out.
Them
working hard is just rolling down the window. And
yeah.
Yeah.
That's as hard as it gets for them.
Driving around and finding one is the hardest part of doing some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Reaching back for the next can.
Yeah. Which that just...
They're not, and then that's not calling in. It's not the can call. That's
12-ounce cans.
Different kind of can.
Yeah. Yeah. The bush lights that they're thrown out the window after they kill it and drive off. Yeah. I don't know. If we ticked anybody off tonight with the stuff we talked about, I don't even care. Those people can be ticked off.
Yes.
What do you guys think? I'll talk to the audience for a second. If you're on YouTube, leave a comment. What's your hunting pet peeve? Because everybody's got them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we just came up with, I don't know, 6 or 8 of them. And, like, I have a bunch more.
I have a bunch more now that we got to talk.
that could go. I don't even know how long we've been going. 55? Okay, so we're running close to probably 45 minutes, because I think we ran for a little bit before. But if you guys got pet peeves, leave them in the comments. Let us know what you think. I did want to mention one thing, too, like a little housekeeping note. Two housekeeping notes. One of them is on the YouTube videos. For some reason, between my board in there and the computer, something is messed up, and I've been trying some different stuff to try to fix the issue. But, like, there's this weird, scratchy, alien-sounding thing that happens with the microphone, and I don't know, like, when we're in here recording, I'm sure it did it tonight. Oh, I hope it didn't, but it probably did. I have no idea when it happens. It'd be kind of funny if it happened right now while I was talking about it. But it lasts for like 2 seconds.
They're listening.
Yeah, it lasts for like 2 seconds and then it's gone. I have no idea what the issue is with that yet. So if you've been watching on YouTube and you hear that kind of weird sound, I'm trying to solve the issue. I have no idea when or why it's happening.
So there's a possum under this table.
Probably is. He's chewing on wires. So I'm trying to fix that. The other housekeeping note is Spring Strutting Season 2 will be kicking off here in just over a week, probably, depending on when we kill some birds.
Mm-hmm. Tyler, the fly down is about to happen.
It's about to happen.
Opening
Tyler,
day is a week from today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tyler and Jason both have first season tags. And yeah.
Sweet.
We're going to try to double if we can.
Has he ever been turkey hunting?
No. First time.
Oh, my.
So it'll be
good
fun.
Good luck.
It'll be fun. You got, which season do you have?
Second, fourth, fifth.
So at some point, I'm going to get everybody's and write it down so I can figure out cameras and whatever, just to make sure everybody, or cameras and when I can go and film and all that kind of stuff. Because I'd like to get as many as we can. I mean,
Jason is having a hard time. If he goes just a little further north, there's some really big barns, and there's a lot of them in there.
Yeah, with one shot.
Colored.
If you line them up,
you could cut a giant V out of there.
Yeah,
that might be unethical. I don't know.
That's probably unethical.
We might be stepping on our own toes.
They're all going to die at some point anyway. Very soon.
Yeah. Yeah. We actually met the big conveyor belt things where they unload them on our way down here.
Did you?
Yep.
Well, season two, Spring Strut, and you probably won't see any white birds killed. Hopefully.
Well, I mean, if there's an albino, I'm sure.
Okay. What is that?
Can you in Illinois?
he needs to have some black on him, I think.
It's just like deer?
Besides his beard. I think all their beards are black. You know.
Jamie.
Can you look that up and see if it's illegal to kill an albino turkey in
Illinois?
In Illinois. While she's looking that up, if you want to watch season two of Spring Strut, and you got to subscribe to the Fall Pursuit YouTube channel. It's his own thing now. It's split up from this one. So go to Fall Pursuit on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to that, and you'll get the notifications, because Spring Strutting isn't necessarily like with Fall Pursuit, we put it out every Tuesday. Spring Strutting is just kind of whenever we kill the birds and whenever I get the videos edited. So, and especially with, like, I've got second season, he's got second season. I know we've got different people with same tags in the same season, so it might be like we have an episode on a Tuesday and then a Friday, or it might be 2 weeks before I come out with one, but, and I'm just going to roll them out until we get done with the episode, so it might even last longer than turkey season. But make sure you're subscribed to the Fall Pursuit YouTube channel to be able to watch that, and then you can also see it on Carbon TV. So season one is already posted on Carbon TV. If you guys like to watch there, you can go check it out. It's Spring Strutting, and season two will go up the same way as the YouTube channel. Whenever we kill the birds, whenever I get the videos edited and produced, then I'll upload them to Carbon TV. So that's how you can watch Spring Strut, and that's coming up. I wanted to get that out there. Full Draw Fridays, make sure you stay tuned for those. Me and Austin been rolling through those. We just finished up a series on buck bedding. I don't know what, we're probably going to start a habitat series next, so you guys can check that out too. That's all I got for housekeeping. You got anything in there?
She's got nothing. She's a bad Jamie.
Are you trying to search too, Nate?
Yeah.
It's legal in Tennessee.
That's all you got?
Well, Tennesseeans, hope you get one.
Maybe we shouldn't look at it. Well, they said ignorance is no excuse for the law, so.
Mm-hmm. Ask for forgiveness and permission?
You cannot legally shoot a wild turkey while it is in a tree before 7 a.m. Let's remember that.
You can after 7 a.m.?
At
7:01?
At 7, it says before 7 a.m.
So at 7.
7:01, it's at guns ablazing.
At 7 a.m.
You can shoot him off the roof.
You cannot at 6:59. You can at 7.
Oh, so
that's how that's written.
I didn't know you could ever shoot him out of the tree, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. So 7 a.m., it's like the subs have opened up at Wren Lake. And it's on. But they also still have to have a beard.
Well, yeah. That's easy enough, though. If they're still on the roost at 7, they're probably gobbling. Maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
They're up there strutting. You could shoot them up. That'd be kind something. That'd be cool video.
It would make a heck of a noise when it hit the ground.
Yeah, it would. Thump. 25-pound bird just falling from a tree. I had something else on that, and I lost it. Oh, I think you said forgiveness and not permission. It reminded me of the Hunting Public guys, because if you guys didn't see, they had a whole ordeal. It was like total, in my opinion, kind of crap situation that they got put in. So I'm not saying anything bad on them on that. It just reminded me my earlier thought about like the killing the bucks and being happy with them. I think those guys are an awesome example of like they're going out on public land and they're killing the first nice buck, whatever they deem to be a nice buck, whatever that is, and they are like completely not apologizing for it, and they're happy about it, and they're excited for each other. And I think that those guys set an awesome example for how everybody else should do it. So I wanted to give those ass props, and I forgot to earlier. But we got anything else for tonight, boys? Just leave them with that. Leave them mad and wanting more.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it.
I'm good with that. You good with that?
I'm good with it.
All right.
We got to talk about the one thing. The thing that's in the back of his.
Yes.
It's in.
I forgot. We have more. Now. We have more news. Yeah, you can talk about it.
You lead it off.
Okay, so I don't know where you want me to start. There was a very nice deer that you were hunting this year.
Yes, very.
We could call it the forgotten deer because he's really not made any appearances.
Yeah.
Yeah, he never did because he disappeared right after Velvet.
Yeah, you had... when did you have pictures of him?
The 14th, he showed up one night, and then 2 days before gun season, he showed back up.
And then was it... Very, very nice, big, like, mainframe 8 was pretty deep split.
Two and a 3.
Yeah, and we knew he was a very nice deer. The pictures of him looked like a very nice deer. Obvious target for you. Was it first gun season or second,
season? Nate can say something to that.
He was talking about passing it. He's like, I'm not going to shoot that deer. I'm only going to shoot the Big Ten. I was like, you're an idiot. Like, you're so dumb.
He said the same thing about the Curl Tine 8 until that thing came tromping in at 45 yards and put the hammer
throat on. Punch. Not really. I had to say that, though.
Yeah, there's an inside joke there.
No, you put it right through his boiler room. You really did.
Yep.
But anyway, back to this deer. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to shoot it. I'm Big Ten or bust. Big Ten or bust. He kept saying that. I was like, you're so dumb. You're so dumb. You got this really nice blind in this perfect spot to cover everything that you need to, like, this is a gun hunting dream. Like, not that
honestly,
not that we set up for gun hunting in most of our stuff, you know, but like this spot right here, you can kind of, I mean, you can bow hunt it, but like it's a gun hunting dream. They're absolutely going to come out of here. They're going to walk in front of you going over here and you're going to get a great shot. And what happened? Here he came.
First gun season or second?
Opening morning. I don't know, 45 minutes after light.
Yeah.
Hang on, what?
I found the albino turkey ruling.
Okay.
Okay. It says, while albino turkeys are rare, they are still considered wild turkeys and are subjected to the same regulations.
In Illinois?
In Illinois.
Blast away, boys.
They're in trouble.
I can go kick one out of the barn.
I hear they don't move fast.
They're like very rare, though. Like one in every 100,000 turkeys.
I heard a story about this.
I see lots of them in those barns all the time.
Did you guys... Oh, who was telling us that? Or did I see that on a video? Oh, man. I want to give the guy credit who told the story, but I can't. Because I can't remember who it was. But he was talking about how he... let this farm-raised bird out in front of his buddy that he knew was hunting. Didn't tell him about it. The guy smokes this thing, just whacks it. And he's so pumped up telling everybody that he killed this albino bird. The dude that set it out let this go on for like a year.
Did he get it mounted?
Oh, yeah. So, I want to say he did. So
I have an idea.
What's better is when he finally told him about it, this guy was like talking about how great a turkey hunter he was. He killed this great albino turkey. He's so awesome. He goes to this banquet and they asked him to speak at the banquet about shooting this turkey. And that's when the guy broke the news to him They had, because they'd videoed it. So this guy went up there to tell everybody how great he was. He killed this out great albino turkey or whatever. I forget where it was. But at this banquet, they played the video of him letting this thing go out in front of him and him shooting it at the banquet. That's when the guy found out about it, like a year later. Oh, it was awesome. I wish I could remember who told that story. We'd bring it up.
Man, that's crushing the kids' dreams at the four-pointer at the locker, right?
Yeah.
Man, that guy's never going to shoot another turkey in his life.
Oh, I got to figure out.
I wonder if they're still friends.
I don't know. I got to find that somewhere.
Probably questionable.
If you guys know the story, leave it in the comments. And if I butchered it, I'm sorry, but I know I got most of the parts right. Like, it... I wish I could remember who told it. If you remember, put it in the comments. But back to what you were talking about. This is opening morning.
45 minutes after light.
Yeah. And
who shows up?
The split G2 8-pointer.
Which you knew was going to be there.
Yeah, I had an idea I might see him. And sure enough, I look over, there he was. Just like glistening in the sun because he's to the east. Mm-hmm. Northeast. And I'm like... Yep, you're getting shot.
What 10-pointer?
Forget about you. Well, good thing, because he broke his rack off.
Mm-hmm.
He was probably... Nah, he still had his rack at that point.
No,
it was already broken off.
It was before.
Yeah.
Like the night before.
Yeah.
He busted that rack off.
The 10, not your deer.
Yeah,
the 10. Hey, and in all honesty, that 10 probably didn't... Well, we'll get to it a little bit. The 10 probably didn't score much more than the deer you shot.
I don't know. That 10-pointer is giant.
I mean, I'll give my opinion in a second because I want you to finish the story.
I bet there's 15 inches more.
I was going to say 10.
Anyway, he's walking
across. Not as much as I originally thought. I'll put it that way.
He's walking across, and I get the camera on him, just following him, just perfect. He's just sitting there, just beautiful. Trying to remember exactly. How long? It wasn't very long. It felt like eternity. Because he just stops and he just looks in my direction because there's deer in the plot. I'm thinking, man, he's going to see them does and just come over here and check them out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Must have been gay or something because he didn't. He just keeps walking down that fence line. I'm like, I'll wait till he jumps the fence into us because I had permission to shoot him on that property. But I'm like, it'd just be cooler if he's on our property for some reason. I don't know why. I should have just dumped him at 150. Just made my life so much easier over the last 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he jumps in our property. He gets in the field. I get the camera on him. Stop him. I just wasn't settled just what I liked. And he's at, I think I ranged that spot at 208. And that gun I'm using, that's nothing.
Because
mm-hmm.
You'd shot it.
I could shoot 250, no problem. Yeah. And it's 3-inch group.
Right.
So.
And you had this thing in, you had this thing on your bog pot. I mean.
Yeah.
No problem.
Not like you were freehanding it with a cigarette between your fingers and your beer between your arms.
Yeah. No, I was dead set and I was in my chair. I mean, the gun wasn't moving.
Yeah.
He takes a few more steps. He stops again. And I'm settled in on him at this point. Squeezing through that trigger, he didn't, and the whole time I'm squeezing this trigger, I didn't see it, because I'm just focused in on this reticle, holding it still and squeezing, making the trigger pull. He takes like a step and a half, and turns, and that shot cracks off. And I didn't know it, that he took that step, and I just see that bullet, and see it hit him, and hear it. And I didn't say hear it, because my ears are ringing. When you're shooting out of a blind, make sure you get the gun barrel out of it, especially when it's got a giant muzzle brake. That adds to the story later.
What happened to your earbuds that you wore last year?
They were on my neck.
Oh, they do pretty good there, don't they?
Yeah. It also ripped in half.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he broke them like an hour later. Tears them in two, like accidentally.
Yeah. This is already after I'm having a bad morning, so that just added to it.
Yeah.
He took a step and a half, and just turned, and I hit him right behind his back leg.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes through him, and I could see, like, well, on camera.
Right in front of his back leg, right?
No, it's behind his back.
You hit him behind his, okay, I got you,
But
behind
anyway.
Behind the bone.
He bucks and knocks him off his feet half near. and takes off and slow. I'm like thinking in my mind, I smoked him. He's not going far. There's no way he can take it.
Yeah, because at that time you didn't know that's where you hit him.
Yeah, I thought I smoked him.
Yeah.
The way he acted, I thought I smoked him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm using a 444. I mean, that's a big bullet, mm-hmm. big gun. And just rocked his world at 200, a little over 200 still.
Yeah.
He ran into the neighbor's woods. I'm thinking, all right, he's just going to be piled up dead in that woods. So I take my time. I called you.
Mm-hmm.
And you was coming over because you had Royce that morning, so you didn't hunt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You came over, and by that time, I got down and looked for woods by the time, or blood by the time you got there, and he wasn't there in the edge of the woods like I thought. And I'm thinking, that's not cool. So that time, I went back and looked at the camera waiting for you, and it just, the video just seemed off. You can hear this bullet smacking hard, too. So we got out, we just backed out, and we went home and looked at the footage on my computer. And that's when it all went downhill. You can play it, and you can see it. It hits him. That when he takes a step, it hits him in his back, like his back legs right here. Here's the front of his body. Hitting him right here, and he's quartered away. So it hits him behind the leg bone, goes through his back hams, and breaks his back leg.
On the opposite side.
Opposite side. So I was hopeful maybe I would get lucky and got that artery. Turns out I didn't.
Which I still cannot believe it broke his leg and didn't. A bone.
Any kind bullet, of bone fragment.
Nothing didn't cut his that artery.
Yeah.
Maybe it did a little.
When he was running around moving.
Maybe at some point it did, but I can't believe that bullet went through there and didn't. Something didn't cut that artery and him die in 60 yards. Like, that blew my mind when you told me. Well, you can go ahead with the story. I won't.
Yeah. So, we waited for a while. I about got sick. I was ready to drink like a whole bottle of vodka.
Did you?
No.
Oh, okay. You didn't call me, so.
Yeah. We waited, I don't know, how long was it? 3-4 hours?
A while. Yeah.
We snuck out there. Got permission from the neighbor to go out there. He was graceful and I'm thankful enough that he was able to let me at least go out there and look for my deer. Went out there, specks of blood, just tiny specks here and there. Found a bed, and there's not much blood. I bet there's probably like 4 puddles about the size of this bottom of this drink here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cold, so we knew he has gotten up. It was, I think... Was it drizzling that morning by then?
I can't remember.
It was cloud. I know it got overcast. And it was cold that morning, like the first cold day we had in a while, too. So it probably didn't take long for it to get cold. But it was cold to the touch. But we did find a little bit of blood coming out. And he was working down this ridge. So me and my buddy, because you wasn't there, we worked down this ridge just maybe, hopefully, because we know the back leg's broke. He's not moving fast, and he's not going to move far because he's hurting. Mm-hmm. I can imagine the amount of pain he was in. We worked down it, I don't know, 80 yards, nothing. We actually lost blood after like 40 yards, but we worked down to about 80 yards where it started getting thick again. And we were like, we ain't going to see him in that unless we're on top of him. I'm like, let me go check out this deep draw because I know there's probably gonna be water down there, holding water down there. Maybe he's like, I need something to drink. Sure enough, I sneak down there, nothing. And remember that thing where I make sure your gun barrel's out of your blind? My ears are still ringing at this point, bad. And the whole time, my buddy is whistling at me because the buck's like 40 yards from us behind a dead blow, and he sees it. And he doesn't have a gun because he's bucked out. And so he didn't take nothing. And he's whistling at me.
And you guys have split up because you went down. And yeah, he's
I'm still on this ridge top, but I'm off to the side like 40 yards.
Yeah.
And I never heard him whistling at all. And sure enough, by the time I whistled or I turned around, a doe had came in and busted on him. And she took off running. And, well, if a doe takes off running, scared, everything else is going to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Especially a buck that's scared to death after he's just been shot. And by the time I turned around, I caught a glimpse of his rack getting in the thick stuff again. And that was the last I seen of my buck.
Mm-hmm.
We went back, could never find nothing. We actually continued trying to catch him, and we never could find him because you should be able to. I figured, like, if you can, you can catch a buck and maybe get a shot mm-hmm. with gun. Didn't want to screw this guy's property up a whole bunch because I respected the guy's property. I didn't want to just trample all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he
especially
didn't
right care. There, first day of gun season.
Yeah, and even though he didn't care, but I just had respect like to that guy mm-hmm. to not do that. We ended up going back later that night trying to find maybe a little bit of blood, and that didn't work because that didn't work. So we backed out within like 20 minutes because it just didn't work.
Mm-hmm. That was, and I knew that, well, I mean, everybody that's been there knows how crappy of a feeling that is.
Oh, it's terrible.
But we talked about it, too. I was like, man, we don't have to put anything out there about this if you don't want to, because, like, I knew how freaking busted up you were about it, and, like, nobody wants to, it's bad enough to have it happen, and then it'd be even worse if you put that out there, and then, especially after the reception that your other buck got.
Oh, yeah.
Have all those keyboard warriors just pile on.
Yeah.
The guys that act like they've never done it before.
Yeah.
Or it hasn't happened to them. So, like, yeah, like, we don't have to, we'll just not even say anything about this. Like, if you find him, we can put it out yeah. there, whatever. But that's why, like, we never, like, this is the first time anybody's hearing about
that's it. That's why I also kind of disappeared, because I went into deer depression after
yeah.
first gun season, like, you didn't see me in any more videos. I wasn't out there hunting because I was just so deer depressed. Mm-hmm. Like, I was destroyed.
Yeah. Which, I mean, we talk about, I mean, we've put two of his misses out there.
Yep.
I've put the buck that I didn't find out there, but it wasn't the same. And that wasn't the same situation, really. And, like, I still don't know what happened on that deer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it wasn't like your situation where you shot and he just, like, he rolled forwards, and, like, otherwise you'd have drilled him.
Yeah, because if you hold the mouse pointer where I was aiming and hit play, the bullet hits at the very tip of it, mm-hmm. Where I was aiming.
Yeah.
He just wasn't there.
Yeah.
Well,
half a second.
He was halfway there.
Yeah.
We're half gone.
But we just decided, like, and it's not worth it, like, you felt bad enough about it. Like, we'll just keep this to ourselves. It happens. I think there's a time to show that kind of stuff, and there's a time not to. And, like, with my buck, I thought, hey, this is something that maybe will help some people see, even if you hit them where you thought you smoked them. Like, if you don't have a camera or whatever, it's really hard to tell what happened. And this is a deer that looks like my arrow track perfect. You even said on the video, you got him. Like,
oh, yeah.
We thought
yeah.
we hammered him. So I felt like that was a situation where it was good to show. I was okay with showing it. And then your situation where, had we put that out there, probably just would have made things worse for you. And I was
I
not
got hate
wanting
anyway.
To do that. So, like, and it wouldn't have, I don't feel like that would have been enough of a benefit to anybody else to be worth putting you through a whole bunch more crap.
It's not really
when you're
that.
Feeling
it's just,
bad about it.
I don't know. It's the deer. I just feel terrible for the deer itself.
Right, right.
Like, I've felt terrible for a long time about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would take that shot again. It's not the shot. It's just terrible circumstance happened right there. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's the, I mean, it's hunting, right?
He was, like, the way he is end up going and the way he was looking, there was does up there. Instead of coming to my does, he was going to go to those does. So I had to shoot because I knew, because he would have came to my does already, but he was going to
mm-hmm.
go to them. Because mm-hmm. the wind was out of that way, so he was down one of them, and he was smelling something, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. And so. It's not like what we were talking about earlier. It ain't like you pulled the trigger and shot him in the backside on purpose. Like,
no, it was 100%.
It was just,
it's one of them things that we was talking about.
Yeah. It just happens when you're hunting sometimes.
He's in the wide open. It's not like you can only see his butt, and you're like, there
I'll
it is.
Get one in him.
Yeah.
Right. No. Like yeah. 200 yards, yeah, like that's a long shot to some people, but my setup,
and
that's
not,
nothing.
Not for the guns and that we're using.
I am
now.
Confident into 250, no problem mm-hmm. with that gun.
Because you'd practice with it at that range.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he just all of a sudden he takes that one giant step and.
Right as I'm squeezing and focused in, I'm just keeping the reticle steady and squeezing. Like,
mm-hmm.
it was right to be wrong.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, now we're however many months down the road?
Mm-hmm. Four? Pretty much four and some change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
December.
Just over four months, about
4 months.
Yeah. That same neighbor, they ended up finding him this past weekend. They sent me a picture of him and them holding it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
very identifiable deer.
Very. Like, there's no other deer like this.
Yeah.
In that area. I'm sure somewhere, but.
And he's still in that woods where you lost him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Turns out he only went like 150 more yards.
You can't find him when you don't have blood, though.
Yeah.
Nope. I honestly think Ghost, probably the same thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think that deer, I think based on the blood that I had, where I shot and where he stopped the first time, and where my arrow was tracking while I could still see it, like, he's one of the deer I'm 90% confident I killed, but just similar, like, we ran out of blood. It was so thick in there, he could have been 150 yards away, and but, like, nobody ever found him. Never heard anything. If they did, I never heard about it.
And, yeah, I could have found this deer with a dog, no problem.
You didn't want to screw up that guy's
But
place.
I'm not going to run a, like, out that back to that respect thing, but, yeah, you got to respect the critter, but you also got to respect this guy's property, and I kind of weigh that more.
He was doing you a favor by letting you go in there and look.
Yeah, he could have said no from the very beginning, and I would never have had it.
I mean, even though, like, he might have said he didn't care, there's still worried.
There's a mutual respect thing there.
You kind of have to make the decision on your own, like, hey, he might be saying that he doesn't care, but I would feel bad about this.
Yes, I would have felt terrible about running a tracking dog all through there during the middle of gun season.
Right.
Like, no, okay, yeah, that's a topic for a different one, dogs.
Right, right.
And this guy, I mean, he is, he lives a long ways away. He only gets to come down a couple of days to hunt.
And he was going to have family in there the next day.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that neighbor.
Right.
So I didn't run a dog through there. I could have, probably should have ran a dog that following Monday, but I don't know, looking back on it, I probably should have, but.
At that point, you're hoping he smells the carcass, which, and if you were 150 yards from him, there's a good chance a dog would have, but you didn't know that's where he was at the time, so you could have still been doing the same thing.
See, he took a turn that we didn't know.
Right.
Like, we thought he just kept on going down that ridge, was going into the bottoms, and was, that bottom's gone forever. Sasquatch can be down there for all we
probably
know.
Probably is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, neighbors found him.
Yep. They sent me a picture of him. And they were on their way back to Chicago, and I'm like, I called him, and I said, hey, did you guys take it, or did you leave it? Oh, we left it. And I'm like, would you guys care if I go get it, and can I have it? Mm-hmm. Like, let me ask my sons, because they found it, and they said, he called me back like a couple minutes later. He's like, yeah, you guys can have it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, thank goodness. I was such relief. It was a big, huge closure just knowing that he was dead. Mm-hmm. The fact that he suffered just still makes me sick. But I don't think he suffered for that long if he only went like 150 more yards.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably close to where he died.
Yeah. I think him running up, because there's a big draw. Mm-hmm. I think he might have, all that working of the muscles and all that stuff probably shifted some bone fragments, and it might have hit that artery back there.
Yeah. That could have been eventually what got him.
Yeah. But I went out there. They moved him. And they told me where they moved him to so that nothing would get him. But I went out there yesterday. Yesterday we had a nice hailstorm up there where we were. Mm-hmm. Lightning and thunder, I was out there getting my deer. I was getting my deer.
Yeah.
I wanted my hands on him so bad.
It's good, too, that they were all right with you going in at him because they knew the situation. They knew you shot him. But I know, because I've been in that situation where I've shot one, and I've asked a neighbor, like, hey, I shot this deer. He knew the deer. I was like, if you find him, could I have him back? Would you, and like, at the very least, would you let me know? And he was like, well, yeah, if I find him, I'll let you know, but I don't know if I give him back to you or not. Like, I guess he's on your property. That's okay. But I would like to think that if you shot one and he came over onto where I'm hunting, I would let you have him back, especially since you shot him.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that they.
They were actually surprised I was interested in getting him back because they probably dealt with people that. Never wanted it back. I'm like, I want the deer back.
Yeah. You like, shot him. You killed him.
Yeah.
You just, the only thing that wasn't there was the recovery that night or whatever. Mm-hmm. It doesn't change the fact that you knew that buck was there. You put the blind up. You went out there and hunted, and you did everything except when you shot him, he took that step. You didn't end up finding him that night, but everything else, you still, I mean, it's still just the same as any other deer you've killed. You know what I mean? Like the hunt and everything, you still put in all the work.
Yeah.
Put the food plot in, got everything set up.
That was the new food plot I put in last summer, too.
Mm-hmm. So.
But he wasn't hit going, I mean, he wasn't going there, but.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where I was at. Wasn't that blind.
Yep.
But so, yeah, we got him.
That closes the book on the split buck.
Just so everyone knows, I have contacted wardens. I'm going to waiting for a callback for the salvage tag, so I'm just not running around with a deer that's not tagged.
Everything, that's all been taken care of. Yes. So don't leave that in the comments, and don't call me about that either.
Yeah.
So.
But no, we got a tape on him, and me and Nate were under guessed, which I'm fine with. And you were close.
Well, you talked at the classic, and you said something about if that deer is this. And I was like, I think I told you. I was like, I was thinking he was probably 160.
Yeah.
I like I when I saw the pictures of him and stuff like that.
The pictures don't do it justice at all.
No.
The
Thought he was probably right at 160 though.
The like, video really isn't.
Yeah, he looks good on the video.
Yeah.
Who was close? Dusty was close.
Was he?
Dusty overshot just a little. Caden was on the money.
Yeah.
He didn't count for the little 1 inch on the G2, the left G2.
I don't even think I knew he had that, to be honest with you.
I didn't either until I picked him up.
Mm-hmm.
But he nailed it.
Yeah.
If he would have counted that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He measured out at 164 and 5/8.
Yeah, which is your biggest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he was very special to me.
And we were talking out there, like mainframe 8, he's like 100.
153.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was just a clean 8, which is a hammer of an 8 point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he's got the two big splits and those little 4s.
Yep.
Well, yeah. That other one, were they both an inch?
One was a 2 1/8.
Was it?
It's actually surprisingly, it just, they full. I never really paid attention because I was just always.
I didn't know he had either of those, to be honest.
Like yeah, because. It's like they're on the inside.
Yeah, they're on the end. Yeah. Well, plus I was always looking to split G2 and G3 on the same side. That's cool.
There's lots of other stuff to look at besides those little nubs.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, my biggest deer.
Yep.
Awesome.
Killed him.
Closes the book on him.
Where I shot him was where I was standing, like pretty much within like 10 feet of where I shot my first deer.
Really?
Yeah. And that was my biggest deer ever up till that deer I just shot. So that holds a special place.
With your grandpa on the first one.
Yep.
That's a pretty good spot, too.
Grandpa thought it was.
Yeah.
Blake thinks it is now.
Yeah.
For sure.
I would think so.
Yeah. It just holds a little special place in my heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. That's a good place to leave it. You got anything else?
That person that we were talking about earlier, you know who you are. Come talk to me.
You know who you are. All right. That'll do it for this episode. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Make sure if you're on YouTube, you like, subscribe, comment, all that stuff. If you're on anything else, give us a follow, leave us a review. We really appreciate all that. Also, don't forget about Rodney Hawkins over there at MFL. It's Midwest Farm and Land. He is a land specialist with those guys. He deals with real estate for them, does a lot of recreational property. He does residential stuff, too. So if you're in the Illinois area and you're looking for something or you're looking to get something sold, make sure you contact him, 618-925-3153. I think I got that right. It'll be in the show notes.
You did.
He's also got RG Outdoors, where he's got Tacticam trail cameras. He's got Radix hunting products, blind stands, all that stuff. He's got e-bikes, and he's adding stuff all the time. So you can go check their Facebook page out, RG Outdoors, if you're, again, in the Southern Illinois area. You can go check out his brick-and-mortar shop now in Flora, Illinois. Again, call him at that number for any of those. And Flambeau Outdoors as well. Guys, we've been working with them for right at a year now. In my opinion, they've got some of the best decoys on the market for the price that they're at. They're super reasonable. Are there some decoys out there that you could argue are better quality or look better? Sure, but they're also incredibly more expensive. So if you're the blue-collar hunter like we are, I think there's not too many better options than a Flambeau. They're duck decoys I've used for a long time for the same reason. I think for the price, it's hard to beat them. And their storage stuff is awesome. That bow case that we got this year, their gun cases, everything I've used from them, super good quality at an awesome price. So go check them out at FlambeauOutdoors.com. Make sure that you let them know we sent you over there. That's That's officially doing it for this episode, guys. See you on Friday.